International rugby is back. Scotland will host world champions South Africa, Southern Hemisphere heavyweight Australia, Pacific Islanders Tonga, and the exciting Japan at BT Murrayfield this October and November. Adult tickets start from just £16 and kids can come for a quid. For more information on the Autumn Nation series and to secure your tickets for the return of international rugby to BT Murrayfield, check out scottishrugby.org. We can't wait to welcome you back.
Hello and welcome back to the official Scottish Rugby Podcast. I'm Jamie McMillan. Joining Rachel Malcolm on the show this week are Johnny Beattie and Siali Pilatau.
Welcome back to the official Scottish Rugby Podcast. This week, we will be previewing Scotland's Autumn Nations series matches against Tonga, Australia, South Africa and Japan to be played at BT Murrayfield in front of fans for the first time. We are delighted this morning on the official Scottish Rugby Podcast ahead of the Scotland v Tonga game at BT Murrayfield on the 30th of October to be joined by Johnny Beattie and Siali Pilatau, who played against each other the last time Scotland took on Tonga at Rugby Park in 2014. Welcome to the podcast, guys. How are we doing?
Good, Rach. Thanks for having me. How are you, mate? You well?
Yeah, all good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, welcome. So first and foremost, whereabouts in the world are you both? Johnny, first of all, where are you and what are you up to?
I am down in the southwest of France. So finished playing here in 2019, end of the season, and haven't gotten rid of me since. We quite enjoy it. We have a little house here, we're happy, kids are in school and we're settled, so trying to make a plan of what life looks like after rugby still throwing some things in there and dabbling and trying not to work too hard and trying to have fun. And that's it, just getting on with it, getting on with life. Three little kids out here in the south of France. And yeah, maybe come back one day, but not quite yet because we're happy for the minute where we are.
I'm not surprised. And Siali, whereabouts in the world are you at the minute?
So I'm in Tokyo, currently in Tokyo, Japan. Doing a 14-day hotel isolation. So I think I'm here with another maybe 15 to 20 players. And that's why the Wi-Fi is quite poor at the moment, especially come night time. It's about 5 o'clock here. I think everyone's doing the same thing, calling back home and whatnot. So it's great to be able to see some new faces and be able to jump on here, especially being 1 week into quarantine.
Yeah, I can imagine it's grating already. So before we look forward to the Scotland-Tonga game coming up, let's have a little flashback to when you two played against each other. Can you guys remember a huge amount or anything about that Scotland v Tonga game? I believe the score was a Scotland win, 37-12. But what are your kind of overriding memories from that day?
I'd say that scoreline was flattering. I think we were actually losing the game going into halftime from memory. But it was sort of around the time of the emergence of a young certain Finn Russell. Stuart Hogg was sort of coming to the fore. Greg Laidlaw was running the ship. And it wasn't going well. Because every time you play against Tonga or Samoa or Fiji, and like weirdly for me, it became even more fun because I ended up playing against a lot of my teammates that were in France. So in that game, I played against Paya Fananu, who was my teammate at Cast. Who's an amazing big guy, one of the most talented tight head props I've ever played with, an absolute freak show. But it's just so physical and daunting. And it's incredible because you're playing against some of the best players in the world. Like I remember watching our man here when he was at the Highlanders. I think he was in Japan at that point as well. So you're playing against some of the most talented players in the world. It's incredibly physical and it can be daunting. And so you have to kind of stick to your guns, stick to your game plan and hope that you can grind them down. And that kind of, because of Greg, because of Finn and because of Hoggy, who sort of changed the game with the intercept try early on, that kind of changed the way the game went. But really good memories, good beers after the game as well with some of the boys who are still good mates. Just good teammates, good memories. I think it was the first game we played on artificial as well. So that was
I looked that up earlier. Yeah. History makers.
Yeah, which meant it was even quicker and the ball was even faster for Tonga, which was harder. But yeah, great memory, great people. And I think that result, as I said, was flattering because it was brutal at the game line, especially as a forward pack. It was not easy. And we kind of got out of jail a little bit with Finn, Hoggy. And I think Alex Dunbar got over for an amazing try in the corner as well, which got us out of jail. So flattering scoreline, but a really tough game.
Just my memories of that game, obviously the week, it was actually a good build-up to that week. We trained at one of the Kilmarnock local rugby clubs, artificial turf. And the actual game itself, you know, we got off to a good start. No tries, but just all penalties. And then it was all downhill come that second half. I think what I remember vividly was, you know, just our forward pack. We had quite a good forward pack going into this game, but, you know, we got dominated in the balls, in the lineouts, and then obviously the backs cleaned up on anything that we dropped balls and whatnot. But like Johnny said, looking back at the players that were playing for Scotland at that time, you know, the likes of Stuart Hogg, the Gray brothers, Greg Laidlaw, you know, you look at those players now and where they've gone to. You know, I probably look back now and realise, you know, that we faced quite a strong Scotland team that day. But leading up to it, you know, we definitely went into the game thinking that we would be able to get a you know, the result. But unfortunate that day.
Yeah, it sounds like a bit of a classic test match for sure. Now, if we stay with UCL and we look forward to the Scotland v Tonga game coming up, what do you think we can expect from Tonga and how's the team kind of, I guess, developed over the last couple of years?
The Tongan beer. I think Tonga at the moment, we're still in the building phase. You saw that the last test that happened in July where it was about 20 plus, you know, new caps that got to play for Tonga. So, and saying that, you know, I think it's going to be tough for them, but I think it's going to be great experience for these young players that have put up their hand, and also for the older ones that are still there, the likes of Tane, Steve Murphy, Kurt Murray. I still put my money on Tonga, you know, to go out there and, you know, do well. I know it'll still be a physical game, as always, but, you know, I'm looking forward to watching.
So just if we touched on a couple of key players there, if you could just give us maybe like a wee bit of an insight into some of the key players for us to watch with Tonga coming to BT Murrayfield.
Yeah, I think the first one obviously is Lopeti Tamani. You know, he's a dual international. He played for Australia, I think back in 2012, 2013. He went through the seven system, obviously, in converting onto Tonga. He's a big back row. He'll be playing in France the last couple of seasons. And he was someone, you know, that we were trying to get for the 2019 World Cup, but obviously things didn't align. But I think with someone with his caliber, you know, he'll be able to get some go forward, especially for the forwards. And then the likes of Lonnie Uhila, who's a bit of a character himself. You know, he's able to bring that culture, you know, not only on the field but off the field. You know, and that's the hardest thing. You know, when you, as professional players for Tonga, when you go there, you know, it's been stated, you know, we don't have any resources. There's not much there. Yeah. So to have someone like Lonnie Uhila to bring some of that camaraderie and culture off the field, you know, plays a massive part in, you know, the results on the field.
Johnny, you're nodding your head there. Are these players that you're familiar with as well?
Yes, I played with Lopeti's big brother, Sitaleki, at Montpellier, who then went on to Clermont. And he was just an absolute machine, like one of the biggest second row units I've played against, but really talented, capable bloke as well, aggressive and amazing to have on your team, but not nice to play against.
No, I can imagine.
And his little brother is almost better.
Really?
Petty, from what I've seen, obviously you mentioned there, he played for the Wallabies for maybe 15 tests, but he's then chosen to go back and re-qualify, play in the Seven Circuit and represent Tonga, which is amazing. I think it's fantastic. Yeah. That they get representation, that they get the players that they have grown and developed themselves. And he is just another level up. The way he ball carries, he just flies into things, another level of pace. And he'll be an absolute handful. And the Tongan Bear, just one of the biggest characters in world rugby. And again, it's just superb to see him coming late to international rugby, but was so good at Clermont. And now for him to find his feet with Tonga would be amazing, because one of the biggest characters and an amazing rugby player. at the highest level. So it'd be great to see him representing Tonga. And then just the other guys, I think you cut out a little bit, but Steve Maffey, who's been around the block, you know, been at Leicester, been at Western Force, been at Cast, now at London Irish, I think. Just another absolute freak show of a human being, like super talented, athletic, can play second row, back row, really dangerous, great ball carrier. Vianu as well, you didn't mention, but the Stade Francais fullback who was at Leicester last season, again, just so dangerous, broken field play. And one of my like sort of favourites is big Ben Tamifuna, who's currently at Bordeaux, been at Racing. So I'll be looking forward to seeing Rory Sutherland and the boys on the loose head try and handle a human being that size on the tight head, because he's just a monster. So they're full of talent. Some things don't change, but the Pacific Island teams, the talent pool that you have, considering the population size you have as a country, is just phenomenal. And it's amazing to have them at Edinburgh. And I think everyone's looking forward to this game. It will be incredible.
Definitely. I think, you know, like you say, with the players on either side and I guess fans being back as well, adds that extra bit of excitement to it. I'm sure we're in for a brilliant game. One last one for you, Sialy, just around Glasgow Warriors, one of their most recent signings, Walter Fifatia. I was wondering if you know much about him and what we can expect to see or what Glasgow Warriors fans can expect to see from him over the next season.
Personally, I don't know much about him, but I managed to see some of his runs that he did in the June, July test. And, he's only a big winger. He's a strong ball carrier. He's a big lad. I know there's a few clubs here that are wanting to sign him, but I'm happy for Glasgow and happy for himself. And you know, I think he's going to do big things up there.
And then just before we let you get back to isolating, Sialy, what are you up to out in Japan? Are you out there playing rugby at the minute? I know obviously you've moved away from England, haven't played there the last couple of years. What's next on the cards for you?
Yeah, so I signed a 2-year deal here with Shimizu Blue Sharks. I was close to hanging up the rugby boots, you know, turned 36 last week. And then this contract came along. So I thought I'd bring my family back here to experience Japan once more. And obviously, it's not a retirement plan, but it's, you know, I've still got a burning desire to chase that oval ball around. So loving life at the moment.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate with your technical difficulties, it's not been the easiest chat, but no, really appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll get you on again soon. So Johnny, obviously with the Autumn Nations series matches coming up, you, I believe, have a little bit of involvement both over in Scotland, but also in France. So tell us a little bit around what you'll be doing in and around all these matches.
So I'll be hopping back and forth in not a private jet, in Ryanair probably. I'll be covering the French based games, so France against Georgia, Argentina and New Zealand, doing co-commentary for those, and then I'll be back for Scotland South Africa and Scotland Australia in hospitality, keeping warm hopefully with a nice little glass of something. But just desperate and really looking forward to being back at BT Murrayfield, seeing fans back in the stadium, enjoying having all of our world-class players back. So excited for both, looking forward to the French games, but really looking forward to coming home, catching up with some friends and family and enjoying a few what should be top-class games at BT Murrayfield.
You obviously chat to a lot of the guys that are still playing and stuff like that. And I think for the men's game, obviously not having had fans there has been kind of monumental, I guess, to the experience for the players. Yeah. How big do you think it is for the players to have fans back at BT Murrayfield?
It's two-way. I think that being now retired and as a fan watching games on TV hasn't been the same without fans in the stadium. So I think for fans, the game hasn't been the same, and it's been the same for the players. I mean, yes, the prep is the same and the work during the week is the same, but the buzz that you get and that everyone gets is that you get to go to the stadium the weekend, enjoy live sport as a spectator or as a player, and just enjoy the experience. And it's been missing for both sides. And it'll be absolutely huge for everybody to have people back in the stadium, both as a supporter, to be there feeling like you're part of something and supporting your country and watching these guys go at it as hard as they can. And for players, that extra buzz, that lift you get when there's, you know, a slight raise in tension in the stadium or that slight roar, it just makes you go even harder. So for both, it's going to be phenomenal just to be back, to get to watch a game, and for the players to have their home support will be huge.
We've talked a little bit about the Tonga game, but let's now talk about it from a Scotland perspective. Who are you excited to see go for Scotland, and what do you think we can expect from the squad that Gregor's assembled?
Well, the thing is, there's so many youngsters. It's amazing. It almost seems like a bit of a transition phase. So like if you go through the list, like guys that I've been excited about for a couple of years, so like Luke Crosby, Matt Fagerson and Rory Darge. So a couple of new kids on the block, and Matt Fagerson is coming back from injury. But I feel all three offer something different, a sort of abrasive ball-carrying hardness that is rare. And Scotland seems to have this great tradition of churning them out. And we've been watching them for years from when I started watching rugby, like 80s, 90s to 2000s guys that I got to play with, like Simon Taylor, Jason White. There's just this tradition and conveyor belt of young back row talent that we keep churning out. So it's incredibly hard, or it will be incredibly hard for them to get a start.
Yeah.
To nail down a position and to remove other people that have been phenomenal over the past couple of seasons, Jamie Ritchie, Hamish Watson, who've been on another level, but it's exciting to see them. I'm not sure who's going to get their chance in this Tonga game, but whoever it is, I'm excited for them because it's a huge chance. It's a statement, and it's exciting for Scottish rugby to keep on producing these kids that are exciting to watch. Like somebody for me sitting in my house in France and still watching the games,
yeah.
It's very cool to see that the conveyor belt's still going and these guys are the next to be chosen. Outside that, again, I may be biased because I watch more Glasgow games, but Jamie Dolby, Rufus McLean as well, offer something different. Both very young, both very raw, but are only going to develop and get better. So again, the positive is we're producing these young athletes that are talented and capable, and they clearly work their backsides off. So it's a case of if they get their chance, taking it with two hands and going for it. And then the other ones that I know less about, so Dylan Richardson, again, I haven't seen much of Sharks play. He's a guy who, again, is new to the Sharks, but looks phenomenally strong, talented, offers something different, maybe something we don't have. He can double up and play hooker, which I didn't realise. So watch
out. No, I saw that as well.
Hugh McNally and Fraz Brown, watch out. He's coming for you. But that's it. There's people on the team, honestly, that I haven't seen play in the extended squad, which is incredible. And there's a few guys at Glasgow that I've watched and I've enjoyed watching for a few years. Just excited to see a few of these guys get their chance. And for other ones that we haven't seen that much of, but deserve to be back in, like Mark Bennett, an old teammate of mine. Again, another phenomenal talent who has
a fan favourite as well, I think.
Exactly. And just a great bloke. So
yeah.
It's great to see him after, struggles with injuries in the past, back finding form, consistency. And we all know what he offers. So if Gregor needs him, he's there and can be counted on.
Yeah.
Ross Thompson as well.
He's been phenomenal, hasn't he?
So names are kind of rolling off, which hasn't been... Maybe with my generation, it was, who can you stick in? Like, who can we get to play? Whereas
don't now, put yourself down.
I'm not talking about me. Back to the other guys. It's great. And Gregor now has the headache of having to pick and choose this team. And the difficult thing, maybe the first 15 picks itself in certain key positions, but then, who do you bring on the bench? Do you, you get Ross Thompson involved? Do you give him a run off the bench? Do you how much game time do you give him? So, it's exciting. It's very exciting, but it's going to be very difficult for Gregor to pick from these blokes over the next few weeks.
Definitely. I do not envy that position. And like you say, it's an exciting time for fans of Scottish rugby to be witnessing such a strong Scotland squad. And I think we saw glimpses of it last season, but I'd say in terms of the depth that they've got in it this season, they've definitely got the potential to push forward. So, you touched just quickly there on Australia, but let's talk a little bit more around our three other games. So Australia, South Africa, and then finishing up with Japan. What do you expect, I guess, from the start of Australia as an opposition for Scotland?
Well, I think the players will know better than me, because obviously Dave Rennie and Matt Taylor were a big part of the staff for Scotland, both for Glasgow and for Scotland with Matt for a long time. So they know their systems, they know how they play, which gives great insight and will actually help Gregor. But that means it's going to be incredibly tight in the way the two teams play. But more fundamentally, it's the sort of one-on-one matchups that are mouthwatering. Mm. So you think about a Finn Russell up against a Quade Cooper.
Yeah.
But any rugby fan, you want a matchup. You think about Cooper going up against Hamish Watson. Like world-class players on both sides going at it, hopefully on a dry night
on
the field.
Well, that's very optimistic, but yeah, hopefully.
It's huge. And it's rare for us over the past few years to have had those kind of matchups and the excitement and the quality of player and the calibre that we do have up against some of the Southern Hemisphere best. So, look, the Wallabies have, they won four in the Rugby Championship, which they haven't done in I don't know how many years. They're a different proposition to what they have been over the past five, six seasons where they've been disappointing. So a huge test for Scotland at BT Murrayfield. But again, you've got people coming back into the squad. You look at Xander, Hoggy, Finn, Hamish.
Yeah.
High being away with the Lions, coming back, raising standards and new challenges. And it's a huge test, absolutely massive. But yeah, I think it'll be great to have the insight that we do, the intel that we have on how Dave Rennie's sides play. But you've got to compete. You're playing against a side that's on the high. Quade Cooper's back in form. Hooper is world class. This year, for the first year, with the Gittel rule kind of being semi-abolished, they're bringing over Will Skelton, one of the Arnold brothers, Latu from Stade Francais at hooker. So they're going to be armed up to the nines as well with firepower. So it's going to be a hard test for us.
Definitely. And then you touched on obviously the Lions there that were out in South Africa, who happened to be the next opponents for Scotland. How do you think, I guess a lot's been talked about off the back of the Lions about how you beat South Africa and how you play against them. How do you think Gregor will be looking for Scotland to play against South Africa?
I'm hoping slightly differently to how the Lions play. I think everyone is, but there's certain elements of the South African game plan that you have to compete against and you have to understand are extremely strong. So their kick chase, their press, their compete in the air is the best in the business. So you have to be very well structured and have success in those areas. They're then very powerful, strong, maul, defence. They're the best. So you have to compete in those areas. But I think Finn showed that when he came on in the third test, when you show a bit of initiative, when you go at the game line and you test them, they're human. They're like everyone else. So as much as, look, it's going to be huge to have Itzebeth Colby, if he's fit, coming to BT Murrayfield. You think that Gregor, knowing them inside out, working on them all summer with the Lions, will have a few things up his sleeve. And I know that Finn, I know that Hoggy, they'll have a little point to prove, and it will be absolutely, it would be insane if we managed to beat them after the British and Irish Lions losing this summer. If they come to Murrayfield and we managed to get one over them, it would just be superb for Scottish rugby, for the coaching staff and for the players that, you know, performed well on the tour, but ultimately came away with a loss. It would just be sensational for Scottish rugby if we're able to pull that one off in a few weeks' time. So it's just a huge game. Again, it's world-class talent at BT Murrayfield, and it should be a magical spectacle.
Definitely. And then just finally, the final game, probably the one I think I'm the most excited to see, actually, Scotland v Japan to finish up. Japan, obviously, we know from watching them over the last few years, play an extremely exciting, quite unique brand of rugby. What do you think? Probably, first of all, what do you think we'll see from Japan and how do you counteract that as a Scottish team?
Well, it is just, it's insane how far they've come as a nation. The development with their league and with their coaches and players. I can remember watching Japan conceding 100 points regularly. I can remember Scotland beating them, I think, at Hampden.
Yeah.
By 100 points. I remember Ali Hogg and 100 points. It's just crazy to see how far they've come. But the work that's gone in by the Federation, by Jamie Joseph, who is a world-class coach. Like, if you speak to anyone at the highest level about coaches that they watch or they've worked with, and then you analyse the way Japan play on another level in terms of organisation, prep, diligence, and then execution with work rate, with heart. They're just they play at some of the most attractive rugby in world rugby. Some of the players they've got at their disposal, Michael Leach, who has just been a rock, test after test, keeps producing. Mafi, Fifita, Matsushima, who just adds X factor from fullback. He is carving up for Clermont week in, week out. And so, look, there aren't that many weak areas in this Japanese side to be exploited. They're on a level with Australia and South Africa. They're on that kind of level. So it's not an easy test match. I think if you went back 10 years, it would have been seen as a walkover. Now it's a, you know, it's a coin toss. This could really go either way, and they are an extremely exciting team to watch. So huge respect for them. I think as a spectator as well, and someone that analyses a lot of rugby, the way that Jamie Joseph's sides play are pretty much, I'd say, between him and Pat Lam, as somebody that watches on, is the two teams that I would most like to be part of and, yeah. and play a part of, because the rugby is that good. It looks that fun.
Yeah, it does look fun.
And so, look, it's a huge test for Scotland again. So it's not easy. There's four huge games against teams that are packed full of talent. So it's not going to be an easy 4 or 5 week block for Scottish rugby, but it's exciting as a fan. It'll be exciting for the players to be part of it. And the spectacle, having fans back in the stadium, just should be excellent.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much, Johnny, for joining us again on the official Scottish Rugby podcast. And wish you all the best of luck with your schmoozing over the next however many weeks. And hopefully you get some entertaining games of rugby to watch as well.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Rach. Cheers.
Cheers. So lovely to chat to Johnny Beattie and Tiali Piatau. Fortunately, Mossy has joined the podcast.
Sorry, I missed earlier on.
In the Patterson household. How you doing?
Good. Sorry, I missed earlier on. I am obviously listening back, but I assume the spirits were high.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, it's good.
We'll go for it.
And just in terms of Tonga, what do we expect? What was the kind of words of wisdom from the Tongan camp?
I think from what both Johnny and Ciali were saying, I think a very kind of direct route was what I took from it. Some big ball carriers, some of the younger players coming through in particular. But I think similar to what we see from Tonga year in, year out, in terms of a really kind of physical upfront battle. But a team which are very much kind of on the ascendancy over the last couple of seasons as well.
There'd be a lot of changes as well. I don't know if you spoke about it. There'd be a lot of opportunities for younger players and different players in terms of COVID restrictions and travel and all sorts of difficulties. But you know that whoever plays for Tonga, they're going to follow exactly that same ethos. They're going to be the word that keeps popping back, physical, isn't it? They're going to be kind of brutally physical, have a brilliant natural level of skill, and they'll play quick, they'll play intensity. But I think it's an exciting opening test for both teams, but for us especially. I was at the session on Monday. The guys trained on Monday, and it was quick, it was fast.
Yeah.
It was of high intensity. There was open training sessions. So it was great to see a few hundred supporters that were able to get along. And you could just tell the intensity of the international season's almost upon us, and just the kind of buzz around the training, the intensity. Yeah. So a couple of big games we'll touch on later on for Glasgow and Edinburgh this week, ahead of that Tonga week. But it's just, you can really see that taste of international rugby that just brings out the best and brings out the intensity in the players.
Yeah. And before we go on to the Glasgow and Edinburgh games, a big weekend for the Fosrock Super Six, culminating in the final between Ayrshire Bulls and Southern Knights. Mossy, you were on comms. What did you make of the game?
Brilliant game. Brilliant. In terms of, I know this word physicality dominates and everything we said, but the level of intensity and physicality around the game was excellent. I think over the season, the Southern Knights were the most consistent team, whereas Ayrshire Bulls had the ability to really click and win well. And Ayrshire Bulls deserved it absolutely. Absolutely on the day. And especially because of the defence. I thought the defence was brilliant.
That's exactly what I would say as well.
They didn't let Southern Knights play. Southern Knights could maybe have been a bit more, not adventurous in attack, but posed a few more questions of like where Ayrshire Bulls were going to have to defend. It seemed to be they were trying to take them on like physically and just say, listen, if you're going to stop us, then you're going to have to stop us well, because we're coming really hard. And they did. The Southern Knights did run hard. I thought like Harry Bothwick, Daniel Sutton, these guys really not thundering at the ball, but almost every time there was a massive tackle. And then the speed of reorganisation from Ayrshire Bulls was excellent, and a couple of brilliant tries as well. I mean, first try was pretty close, I think, in a slow-mo replay. Maybe Elias Cavan's knee hit the touchline, but it was even hard to tell in slow motion. And then George Thornton was dancing
feet, step.
And his speed to get to the line was a really... It was a match-defining moment.
Yeah.
A crucial time in the game. It was one of those ones where, like, whatever happened in that period, because Southern Knights had got themselves back in after not starting well. Whoever scored in that period, whoever made the kind of breakthrough, were going to win it. And it was George and Ayrshire Bulls, and they deserved the trophy. obviously the final of the Fosrock Super Six was Sunday, but Friday and Saturday before that was games. Friday night, third fourth playoff, Watsonians just overcame Still at home. Another close game. How many times have we said Still have been involved in close games? But Watsonians finished third, 21-19, and a cracking game at Myerside. And then the Bears, Birmingham Bears won away from home on Saturday to finish fifth in the table, beating Heriot 21-15. I think that's the table often doesn't lie, does it? And I think, you know, if you look down the kind of positions, it's pretty fair. I think Birmingham Bears will be really proud and happy with the season, especially, you know, the way they've played. I think Heriot will be really disappointed because they had big wins. Their wins were against Watsonians twice when Watsonians were top of the table. So it's they'll be disappointed with it. And Watsonians, I thought, found their form again. And Matt Curry, a couple of weeks ago, come back playing Ben Muncaster last weekend, got some players back that made a difference. And yeah, Stirling's almost like a what if. Oh, yeah. So close. So it's brilliant rugby. And again, just either on the right side or the wrong side of that winning margin. So there's not a lot really for the things I need to get right are pretty narrow, I think, and to you know, shift those narrow losses to the narrow wins. So we'll look forward to the next iteration next year.
Definitely, I couldn't agree more. And you also had a busy weekend on comms. So you were across in Ireland commentating on a game in Italy between Glasgow and Zebre. What did you make of that match?
It was disappointing, wasn't it? I mean, it's probably the situation we're at now where we're disappointed to go away from home and win.
Yeah.
And you know, we're teams and you shouldn't be disappointed with that. It's exactly what you need to be. I thought Zebre have not got a great record at all, but they still have to, you still have to respect the scrum, you have to respect the defence, you have to respect some of the quality individuals they've got. So shouldn't be disappointed to going away from home and winning. But I think Glasgow feel it's an opportunity missed in terms of trying to get a bonus point, especially after scoring so early.
Yeah.
But the game, it was funny. It just didn't get going. Usually games like that are kind of poor in the first half, then have a turning point and they get better, or there's a spell where it's quite exciting or a spell where it's vibrant, but it just never clicked into action. I don't know. You saw it as well. There's loads of penalties, loads of turnovers, trying to force too much. Both teams, and it's not just Glasgow this, it's the game just stagnated, really.
Yeah, no, I thought with Zebre obviously contested a lot at the breakdown, which I don't think Glasgow dealt with particularly well, even on the times where they didn't get turnovers. They didn't necessarily look after that breakdown particularly well, which was meaning you were quite often losing the nine, and then we were making poor decisions as the kind of player coming in and potentially going by themselves, and we just lost structure consistently. I think both teams tried to force it, probably Zebre more than Glasgow, and play in the wrong areas. You know, Zebre were consistently trying to play out of their 22, and you know, there was a couple of times where if the ball had gone to hand they were away, but it is a risky way of playing, and I think they kind of felt the effects of that. But like you say, it was probably a disappointing performance because we know Glasgow are playing so well at the minute. But to come away from a disappointing performance with a 17-6 win away from home, like you say, is still a win, despite not getting the bonus point.
Yeah, I think you're right about the breakdown. I thought that Zebre were pretty combative there, but then were really cute in terms of having a goal and then jumping out.
Yeah.
And when they're having a goal, Glasgow committed two or three more. And then by the time Glasgow committed two or three players, the Zebre guys had to get back on their feet and get set in defence, which was good. The defence was funny. It was really erratic. They flew up in the midfield and caused absolute chaos. But either inside or outside, I thought there was a bit of space for Glasgow to attack. But it just that frantic nature just kind of dominated the game. Until the end, I mean, I couldn't believe what I was watching the end when Zebre were, what were the three scores out or 10 points or whatever it was down, and taking their time, setting up lineouts and scrums for it. They were almost playing for a losing bonus point. I was like, play quickly, go. But I think it was hot as well and one or two different bits and pieces. But good to get the win. Glasgow play Leinster at home this week, which is a total, as everyone knows, a completely different step up in intensity and class. Leinster put 50 points on Scarlets at the weekend, and I just look at their team sheet and you look at the intensity they'll bring. So I think it's a great challenge for Glasgow. It's at Scotland at home, the crowd will be in. Glasgow got a really good victory at the end of last season against Leinster at home, and they'll look to emulate some of the kind of key principles that they got out in that day. But great opportunity to finish before the break, the international break, with a positive result at home.
Definitely. And then finally, to round off a good weekend for Scottish rugby, Edinburgh were at home at the Damhill Stadium against the Blues. What did you make of that game?
The one thing that is asked of you, really, or the main thing that's asked you when you play the Bulls, is physicality. I mean, they've Jake White, the coach, has coached South Africa, he's won World Cups, he's coached in France, is really clear in his principles and what he wants to do and how he wants his teams to play, and it's basically brutality. It's he'll almost quite gladly tell you what they're going to try and do,
yeah,
and you have to deal with it. That's a way of combating it. So you know it's coming with the Bulls, and that's the real kind of route one stuff. And I thought Edinburgh's commitment to that was brilliant, not only in attack and how they carried the ball towards Bulls, but defensively, but the scrum as well was great at times. The defensive lineout was great at times. So it was some of the questions, the way Edinburgh have started in terms of how they play in attacking wise, some of the questions that you would hear would be, oh yeah, but could they cope physically with some of the bigger teams if you're playing that quick style, and the shape the players have to be in to play that quick style? Could they cope with the Bulls? Absolutely could cope with it. It was a real step forward for Mike Blair and the guys, because it gives them so much confidence that they can obviously score the tries and play the attacking rugby that they've played in the opening three or four games, but they can roll their sleeves up and deal with what's coming at in terms of big South African players who make no apology about trying to bash you. So great result, 17-10 win at home. It's close again at the end, but yeah. Edinburgh plays Zebre away this weekend, so they'll try and learn from maybe one of the two pieces we mentioned before about Glasgow's game to Zebre. And likewise, if they can get an away win, it's been a really successful opening 5-week block or so.
Yeah, definitely. And then an exciting lead up into the Autumn Nations series.
Yeah, then it's an internationals, isn't it? It's that Natonga, as we spoke about before, and then Australia, South Africa, Japan. It's four massive challenges. We spoke to Gregor on Monday about the different challenges that the teams pose. Obviously, we've touched on Tonga. South Africa, Australia is a different challenge. Again, they're on fire in terms of their form, their confidence. But the one bit of kind of good news, I suppose, or one of the bits of good news, is the fact that we know Dave Rennie well and we know Matt Taylor well. So the two, the head coach and the defence coach have been within Scottish rugby, worked with our players. So the players will know roughly what's coming, what the players will know what's coming. Now they'll obviously know our players as well. That works both ways, but it's great insight. And then South Africa, we've got a group of players who prepared to play them in the summer, and a group of coaches who prepared to play them, and analysts who prepared to play them in the summer. So there's good intelligence there. And then Japan, well, we know, everybody knows what Japan are going to bring. It'll be exciting, and
we
look forward to that when it comes round. But it seems a long way off, but it'll be upon us pretty quickly.
That's all from us this week on the official Scottish Rugby podcast. As always, thank you so much for listening. And don't forget, Scotland take on Tonga next week in the first match of the Autumn Nations series. For more information and tickets, visit scottishrugby.org.
International rugby is back. Scotland will host world champions South Africa, Southern Hemisphere heavyweight Australia, Pacific Islanders Tonga, and the exciting Japan at BT Murrayfield this October and November. Adult tickets start from just £16 and kids can come for a quid. For more information on the Autumn Nation series and to secure your tickets for the return of international rugby to BT Murrayfield, check out scottishrugby.org. We can't wait to welcome you back.